Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Making their debut as the artist of the day. We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Independence, right off 39th Street. Be an honor and a privilege if you would swing on by. We'll stare at Dana Wright. Will, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. List of the safest countries and most dangerous countries to visit has just come out.
Okay.
Where do you want to start? Safest or most dangerous?
Let's do most dangerous first.
Okay.
Please tell me Mexico's not on the list.
Mexico did make the list, but not high up.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's got to be one of those, like, countries in Africa that's in perpetual war, because that would seem like a really unsafe place to visit.
Two African nations made the top four?
Brazil.
No. Oh, no.
You told Brazil. Me when my kids went to Rio, they'd be kidnapped.
I never told you that.
You most certainly
did. I said Brazil was the kidnap capital of the world.
Well, you might as well have said get in the white van.
I didn't say they were going to get kidnapped. I just said it was the kidnap capital of the world, but that doesn't make it one of the most dangerous countries in the world.
India.
No.
Hmm.
Number one is Afghanistan.
Oh, I was thinking like touristy.
Don't think touristy.
Syria.
Number four.
That's number four? Who's number three? How would you like to be above Syria?
Number one is Afghanistan.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Most dangerous place to visit. Central African Republic. Read that. Congo.
Okay.
Number two. Somalia is number three.
Okay.
Syria is number four.
Well, that's where I was hoping to soak up some rays this winter.
Right. Give me the places that people actually visit that are on that list.
Mexico?
Yeah.
Mexico.
Are the rest places that you would not, like for $1 trillion, I wouldn't go there?
Colombia's on the list.
Colombia. Hey, kids, guess what? I got a super cheap flight. We are all going to go to Colombia.
We are going to snort more cocaine than you can possibly imagine.
No,
because they
the
won't let
one.
Me bring it back as a souvenir.
That's right.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
So let's put it in our nose.
So Mexico's the only place that you would actually go on that list.
Right. But I don't think that's fair. I think they're looking at, like, some of the inland states, not Cancun.
Okay. Give me the safest.
Safest. Care to guess?
France.
I'm on the list, but not in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, not in the top 8.
Okay.
I'm going to guess Canada.
Nope.
Really?
What'd you say? Sweden?
Yeah, Sweden or Switzerland.
Not in the top 8.
Wow.
The United
you say?
Kingdom?
Switzerland.
Switzerland is number 8.
Okay.
The UK?
Nope.
Really?
Spain?
Nope.
Okay, Antarctica.
Like, start listing
what am I gonna get? Am I gonna get mugged by a penguin?
Well, it's not a country. But
Iceland.
Iceland is number 4.
Ooh.
Greenland.
Number 3.
Yeah, I was gonna guess Greenland too. I don't know. Give us the rest.
All right, here we are. Switzerland is number 8.
Okay.
Luxembourg is number 7.
Okay.
Slovenia. These are the safest countries to visit.
Okay.
Slovenia is number 6.
Okay.
Norway. Number 5.
Okay.
Iceland 4. Greenland 3. Finland 2. Denmark 1.
Denmark.
Have you noticed something here?
Yep.
They're all, most, not all, but our most are Scandinavian countries.
Yeah.
I'm moving.
Those Nordic countries got it going on.
They really do. I mean, the old Viking lands are pretty safe.
I don't love the list, though, that say safest places to visit, and here's why. I mean, it's fine to look at that and think, okay, Scandinavia, because bad things can happen anywhere.
Well, obviously.
Do you notice the United States is not on that list?
Yes, I did notice that.
Isn't that interesting?
Of what?
Safest place to visit.
Well, yeah, because in this country you can get shot going to Walmart.
I remember a relative of mine, Scott, once went to the Netherlands, and what they, or I think it was Amsterdam, pardon me. What they
that
said,
is the Netherlands.
Whatever. Okay. What they said was your biggest risk in a country like that is pickpockets. And sure enough, it happened to him.
You know where it's really bad?
It's very coordinated. Italy. It is coordinated. And so, you know, you see a lot of people wearing now these strapped bags. In fact, when my kids went to Spain, my son took my black Nike strapped bag. It's like it's cooler than a fanny pack, but it's the same.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's the same.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's the same idea as the fanny pack. And I think those are popular for tourists when you're traveling because it's harder to steal your wallet.
Well, you know what you do?
When it's in that.
No, what you do, and this is what I've always done when I go on vacation, is you put your wallet in your front pocket. Then you don't have to walk around looking like a dork with your fanny pack, your European fanny pack.
Do you know how they got his wallet, Scott?
They
were walking around with a substance that looked like ketchup, okay? And they had it like in a squirt bottle or something, okay? So the woman comes over and bumps into him, and this red goes all over him. So there's this huge, or over his wife, I'm trying to remember the time. There's this crazy huge diversion, and then the men are like, oh, my gosh, are you okay? Are you okay? And it was, you know, they were like, that was weird. I'm like, was that going to come out of your shirt? And they're like, no, we're fine. And so they walk away, mm-hmm. and within 10 minutes, he realized his wallet was gone.
Who was this?
Joe's brother. And I'm almost positive they were in the Netherlands years ago, 10 years ago. But it was a coordinated.
The Dutch.
You know, with the I'm going to squirt something on you and, mm-hmm. you know.
The old squirt something on you trick.
Yep, that's why you need the over-the-shoulder man purse.
Man purse. It's called a merce.
Yep.
Isn't it?
I'm a fan.
By the way, Parks, fanny packs are coming back.
They're everywhere. Have you not seen them?
By the way,
you can buy like a nice leather one.
I'm not going all squirrel here. Have you noticed that everything that was cool in the 80s is coming back?
Yeah.
I watched my daughter this morning put on Vans.
Yeah. Well, those have been back for a while. You just haven't been paying attention.
Get out.
I'm sorry. They have been.
We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Independence. It'd be an honor and a privilege if you would swing on by. 54th Street Grill and Bar in Independence. Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma.
I know you do.
I love it.
Hey, we are at 54th Street Grill Bar in Independence, right off 39th Street. Just take I-70 to 291 North, assuming you're coming in that direction, or you can go 291 South if you're coming from the north, and then get off on 39th Street, go east, and we're right there. Story here from CBS, so you know it's true.
I heard this on the morning news this morning.
A professor at Indiana University who defended racist, sexist, and homophobic comments that he posted on his social media accounts will get to keep his job because his views are protected under the U.S. Constitution. According to university officials who announced this decision after they were bombarded with demands to fire him. The professor, Eric Rasmussen, who is a professor of business economics and public policy at Indiana University, tweeted this month a quote from an article that said, and I quote, geniuses are overwhelmingly male because they combine outlier IQ with moderately low agreeableness and moderately low conscientiousness. The article titled, Are Women Destroying Academia? Probably, was also published and retweeted by the professor.
The article suggests, by the way, Scott, that there should be far fewer women at universities. And I read this somewhere. It was trying to make the statement that, because women are too emotional, they're not as good as their male counterparts at academia. Now, what's interesting is the head of this fine institution, and I'm trying to remember her name, appears to be female. And what they are saying is, this is deplorable. We do not back this statement. He's trying to backpedal and say, well, I didn't say I believed it. I just retweeted it. Well, come on.
No, I agree.
He wouldn't have put it out there if he didn't believe in it. But it's interesting because the university is saying this is a public university, and because of that, he cannot be terminated.
Well, but you among all people would have to agree with this, that it's okay to keep him employed. Professor, what's his face at KU?
I knew you were going to say that. I
is it Gish or it, what was his name?
If he here's the difference, and without rewriting that history or argument.
Well,
here is the difference, Scott. He is in charge of the grades for men and women, for straight students and gay students, for white students and black students.
True.
The kids are saying, I don't want to be in his class.
Then don't take it.
Because he is going to judge me unfairly based on these statements because of my race, gender, sexual orientation. The university has done something very interesting in response to those concerns.
What's that?
If you are unfortunate enough to have Mr. Rasmussen at the head of your class, you will be blindly graded for the rest of the semester and for all coming semesters. It is a blind grading system.
Why don't they just create a system, I don't know, where when you're a jerk, you get fired? Because that's the way it works in the real world. I've never understood tenure.
I don't know that this has as much to do with tenure.
He's been employed there since 1992.
As it does that he has the First Amendment right to be sexist.
Well, I have a First Amendment right to be sexist, and KMBZ has a First Amendment right to fire me. I mean, I've never understood.
He is accused of previously using slurs to describe women. This is not his first rodeo with this type of behavior.
I understand. But what I'm simply trying to say, Dana, is I've never understood the idea. And I know that you sort of, and I'm not putting words into your mouth, so correct me if I go wrong here. You seem to think that at the university level, a professor has the right to say whatever they want, that they're tenured, that they're sort of, you know, everybody else is down here, but a university professor is up here. We have to protect their right. I don't believe that. And I do believe that a university professor should be held to the same standards as all of us. That's not to say that they can't say controversial things in class. But you can't say that, you know, that women are second-class citizens or that black people are second-class citizens without fear of repercussion. Any more than I could say the same thing on this radio show without fear of repercussion. Now, I'm not saying you get, I'm not saying they fire him, but there has to be some sort of a punishment.
Do you know what his excuse is? And this is not an excuse.
I was just sharing other people's points
of view. No, he is a conservative professor with conservative views. And here's his quote. Indiana University is not discouraging bias, but encouraging it, even requiring it as a condition of my teaching. There are views you are not supposed to express, even out of class. And God help the conservative student whose professor checks Facebook and Twitter before grading their papers. In the past, I've had Christian and conservative students shyly approach me to say how happy they were to finally find a professor who was open in his beliefs. I hope to encourage those students as much as I can.
I would semi agree with what he just wrote.
Well, but he's gone way over the line with some of his comments.
I understand, but I think as much as, and I know we got to get to the news, I think that at the university level, things have gotten completely out of control on both sides. Whereas guys like this express their point of view and they're some sort of misogynistic, racist jerk.
Okay.
Where you have people who are professors who are extremely liberal.
Okay. In 2003, and we're going to talk about this when we come back.
Okay.
Can they fire him for this? In 2003, he came under fire after publishing a blog on the university server detailing why homosexuals should not be teachers, doctors, or elected officials.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Independence. Be an honor and a privilege to spend this Friday afternoon with you. Don't forget, when you come on out, make sure you check out their baby back ribs. They're the best ribs in town here at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Independence.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want.
Hey, we're
you
at 54th Street Grill and Bar
always get what you
in
want.
Independence. And it is as flattering as it is humbling you for you good people to spend your Friday afternoon with us. Make sure you check out their baby back ribs. Best ribs in town, so I have heard.
So I've heard.
Hey, real quick, those of you here at the bar, at the club, we're going to be drawing for some Dana and Parks T-shirts. What we have left, just go over there, the table past this family here, the really handsome guys. Just put down your name and your phone number, whatever, or just your name, I don't care. We're going to be giving away some Dana and Parks T-shirts at 4 o'clock, so just go over there, write your name down, throw it in the box, we'll get you taken care of. We're talking about a professor at Indiana University who is accused of racist, sexist, and homophobic comments. By that, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Dana, correct me if I'm wrong, his biggest mistake was retweeting things that said homophobic and racist
things. Well, but
things.
You have to remember as
and
early...
that's not excusable.
No, as early as 2003, he wrote. He wrote in a blog that gay people should not have jobs in, what was it, education, and a couple of other professions that escape my mind right now. But he is... homophobic, he's sexist, he's racist, and he happens to be a professor, a conservative professor at a public university.
He defended his use of the word slut and stood by his position that gay men should not teach because they prey on students, and went on to say affirmative action is corrupt.
I feel like he has some very deep-seated issues, and he probably needs to see a therapist for a really long time to work on those issues. What I don't understand is if you, in your job, said those things in a public manner, like on a blog, you would be fired.
But wouldn't you agree it has to go both ways?
But you would be fired if you wrote that in a blog.
Yes? Yes.
Okay. Why is it any different? Is it because it's public money involved? Why is it because he's tenured?
Which you and I could go round and round about tenure.
But that's not what the university president said. The university president said he is protected by the First Amendment. As abhorrent as it is, as much as they would like to fire him, we cannot.
Well,
why is that?
Well, and I would make the argument that the university president is probably saying Indiana University is a public institution. Therefore, the First Amendment protects you from your speech being punished by the government. Fair point, and a good argument, because Indiana University is a public institution. Therefore, based on the First Amendment, you cannot be punished by the government for what you say.
I can poke a hole in that argument right now.
Yeah, I'm about ready to. to hell with that. You do not, as a member of the military
or the police department
or a teacher at a high school level, have the right to say anything that you want.
You would be fired as a police officer immediately if you on a public post said
correct
homophobic, racist, sexist things. Mm-hmm. So why is it different for this man?
Well, and I would argue, Dana, and I think you sort of agreed with this in the past, that university professors are different. What the hell is going on in there?
I do not know. They are having
good
a good
Lord,
time in there.
Sober up.
Continue on.
Anyway, you know, I don't believe that just because you're a university professor. Now, I'm willing to give a university professor more leeway than I would a high school teacher. But I don't think you have free rein to say anything and everything you want. You don't have that right. Just because you're a university professor. I think we put university professors on this big pedestal that for whatever reason they just can't be taken down from. You know, well, you're a professor. So what? You know?
If they did not fire him after the blog post in 2003, they're not going to fire him for this. But again, what they've done is they have said, we will not make any of his courses requirements. The university has said we will not make any of these courses that he teaches required. If you want to transfer out, we will let you do that easily into another class. And he will have to blindly grade under a blind system. From this point forward, he will blind grade any students in the class. Now, how you're going to make that...
You're in essence firing him.
Well, and that's what he's saying.
But you're firing him with pay.
Yes. Sure.
Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, you don't have to take his course?
I just don't understand why it's different at the college level than it is. If it's because it's public, so is a police department, you would be fired as a cop for saying these things.
Sure you
I
would.
Don't understand why it's
sure
any different would. For this man, but apparently it is.
But I would also make the argument that it goes both ways. I do believe that students who are very religious, by that I mean very Christian, or politically right, if for whatever reason they insert that sort of commentary into the papers they write or whatever, if their professor is uber liberal, they get punished for that as well. And that is not fair.
I would like to think they are more open and inclusive to a variety of beliefs.
Well,
there are
I'd like to sell you some oceanfront property in Roland
there,
Park.
There are Christian student organizations. There's Catholic student organizations. There are.
Do you honestly believe that the uber liberal college professor doesn't read a paper from a devout Catholic student and go, oh, this is bull?
No, I don't think that happens, Scott. I do not think that happens.
Well, okay.
That would be discriminating against someone based on their religious beliefs.
Dana, mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, it happens on the discrimination happens on both sides. Because the uber liberal professor reading the paper written by the devout Catholic student is going to go, close-minded, bigot, jerk, sexist, F. Screw you. Get out of the university, you idiot. I hate this idea that only the people on the left are the open-minded ones.
Eric Rasmussen, by the way,
is
a jerk and has doubled down on all of his beliefs because he knows they have said they can't fire him. He's doubling down. He reiterated his notion that gay men should not be K-12 teachers and that women could indeed be expletives.
Sluts. Is that the word?
I prefer expletive.
Eric Rasmussen should be fired from the University of Indiana for being an intolerable jerk who should not be trusted with educating younger minds. However, I would like to walk through any major university campus and start firing about half of the faculty.
I am thankful that you do not hold any of that power.
Did I ever tell you the and I thought this was inappropriate. The first class I ever took in college was at the University of Nebraska. And I'm sitting in there. It was a Western Civ 1 class. And this guy walks in, the professor. It was I think probably 50, 60 people in the class. It was a small auditorium class. And the professor walks in. He looks like a miniature Santa Claus. You know, long white beard. He's about 5'3".
Yeah, a lot of them look like that.
Yeah. And he gets behind the lectern, and I'm sitting there. I'm scared to death. This is my first college course in my life. And I'll never forget, he stands there behind the lectern, and he says, "Good morning, class. My name is whatever his name was. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. If you have a problem with that, there's the door." And I turned to my roommate, who is one of my dear friends, and we had the class together, and I go, "What did he just say?"
What did he just say?
And he said, something about Jesus, and if you don't believe it, get out. And I go, "Well, good thing I believe."
Do you know why that bothers me? And it would bother me for anyone to stand up and say
that. And I thought it was inappropriate.
It's inappropriate, and here's why. Number one, it automatically makes that room an awkward
zone. It was like awkward.
Super shifting in your seat, awkward zone. And number two, I don't care what you do for a living, and specifically in the public sector like that. Stop mixing your private beliefs into your job description unless you are teaching a religious ed class. And then I think you can have a discussion about it because it's germane to the discussion. If you're like some professor of economics or this guy's a business professor, I don't want to hear your views on women or homosexuality. I don't teach business and shut your mouth.
I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're straight. I don't care if you're liberal. I don't care if you're conservative. Just teach me the text.
Right.
I really cannot care. And guess what? I don't want you to care if I'm gay or straight, conservative or liberal.
Stay out of my kitchen.
It's none of your damn business.
Stay in your own lane.
Loser.
Stay in your own lane.
Yes.
Got my lane. You got your lane. You stay in your own lane.
Grade my paper. What?
Grade my paper. Stay in your own lane.
That's right. We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Independence. Be an honor and a privilege to spend this Friday afternoon with you. Danny Wright, Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Hey, we're at 543 Grill and Bar in Independence right off 39th Street. Did you hear about what happened today with Tesla? So, you know the car company Tesla?
Yes.
They've got this, like a weird pickup truck thing called the Cybertruck.
Okay.
I wouldn't pay a dime for it, but...
Not your thing?
No. It's like a space-age pickup truck.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So, they were bragging that it is, quote, bulletproof.
Oh, no.
So, they shot bullets into it.
Oh, no.
The window shattered.
Well, of course they did.
It's not bulletproof.
Did they do it like as a PR stunt?
Live.
Oh! Like the old Geraldo open the vault moment.
Right. It's called the Cybertruck.
I hope you didn't invest in the Cybertruck.
During its unveiling on Thursday night, things did not go as planned. After the Tesla pickup truck, the Cybertruck, was rolled out, the company's chief designer threw a metal ball to prove how tough it was.
Okay.
Except it failed miserably. Tesla CEO Elon Musk told an audience the truck is literally bulletproof against small types of firearms. The truck's body withstood multiple strikes from a sledgehammer.
And
the crowd cheered. Musk then summoned the design leader Franz von Holzhausen to try and smash the Cybertruck's armored glass.
Mm-hmm.
Videos show von Holzhausen throwing a metal ball and appearing to look shocked when the driver's seat window was completely shattered. "Oh, my blanking God," he shouted out.
Whoops.
"Well," said Musk, "maybe that was a little too hard."
Oh.
Von Holzhausen then tried the passenger side window with the exact same result. Said Musk during this live event, Clearly, there is room for improvement.
Oh, no.
Then they brought out a gun. It failed that test, too.
Well, why if it failed the test before when they bring out something worse?
I don't know, because they're dumb.
It does look pretty cool if you're looking to...
If you're...
It reminds me of the DeLorean from Back to the Future, but it's a truck.
It's a pickup truck.
And it does say this is cool. It will have lockable storage spaces under the hood and in the sides. So, you know, if you're like a construction person and you need to hide your tools, that kind of thing.
It looks really cool in Space AG, but it also kind of looks like the trucks I used to doodle in my text or my notebook when I was in like third grade.
But they're cheap. So when you hear Tesla, I usually think super, super expensive car, right?
Are Teslas that expensive?
The truck is only $39,900, which is only $10,000 more, it says, than the price of a base model Ford F-150.
Okay. I've never thought of Teslas being expensive. I just thought they were, like, you had to go to specific places to gas them up, but to charge them up.
Have you ever driven by a charging station and seen cars plugged in?
At the Hy-Vee in Mission, yes.
Okay. I need you to tell me where to go see this.
Hy-Vee and Mission.
Okay.
That is the only place I've ever seen anybody charge up a car. You know, Roland Park at the City Hall, they have charging stations.
Yeah.
But people are running their extension cords. That's not a joke. I wish I was kidding.
The flagship Model S sedan for Tesla has a base price of $71,000, and that does not include the $10,000 extended battery or other upgrades and options.
Okay.
$71,000.
Yeah,
they're
not
cheap.
That's more money than I got.
They're pretty cool, though.
We're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Independence, right off 39th Street. Don't forget to check out their ribs, because these are the best ribs in town. We promise you that.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.